famous Phil Henry Show.
This is Bud Dickman.
I'm Robin Leonard.
I'm General Kalen Shaw.
And I'm Phil Henry, and welcome to our program. And this is the C'est La Vie's.
What's the name of this group?
This is the C'est La Vie's.
I love the ethereal quality of this group.
No, not well anything, bud. So anyway, welcome to our program. Things are a little bit kind of jiggy or hinky or however you want to put it this week because we are working with new equipment. I don't suppose there's ever been a show quite as forthcoming as ours when it comes to the honesty, I would say. I would dare say the...
come on, Phil, will you knock it off?
Phil, just give them the story.
We have a couple of new machines in here that we're breaking in, and we never really know how it sounds until we actually put it up on the thing, and then you download it into your thing to put it in a very...
Well, that's vulgar, isn't it?
No, it's great. He's not being vulgar.
I don't like the way he says certain things, Philip. Wish, you know, I'm not trying to criticize or anything.
Well, yes, you are. Yes, you are, Margaret. You're saying he's being vulgar because you want to put it in a guy... Well,
yeah, you said you want to put it in a guy's thing.
I didn't say put it in a guy's thing. I said put it in your thing. I was having a hard time finding the word.
Yeah, he's having a hard time finding a word, to download it.
Well, that's the other term that I don't like, Phil.
Margaret, I can't do anything about it.
Look at this man already.
There he is, crawling on the floor.
Phil, will you get off the floor?
I'm looking for the copy. Sorry, Bud, when are you going to not put that on the floor anymore?
Stop putting on the floor when you put a table there. Now there's no table. There was a table, now there's no table.
Man, what are you talking about?
I'm telling you right now, see where I'm pointing?
Yeah.
There was a table there. What do you see now?
I don't see nothing.
Right.
Then get a table and put it there, will you?
All right. You are green-lighting the expense.
Are you kidding me or something?
Yeah, I'm green-lighting the expense. Go get a table.
Phil, you said e-spence. Is that... I hope you're not being ebonically... You know, you're insulting people with the ebonic...
I didn't say anything of the... I said east. Hi, folks. Welcome to the show.
Sorry.
Yeah. Phil Henry Show. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about this Irma. I was on the phone...
Now you're talking about the hurricane, right?
Well, what do you think he's talking about?
I guess I'm talking about the hurricane.
I don't know. You say you want to talk about this Irma.
So it's someone that he knows.
Hey, stop it, you guys, so I can do this.
All right. Yeah, give it a rest.
Easy, bud.
Anyway, this Irma, meaning the hurricane, I was talking to my close personal friend Liz Wild down in Bradenton, Florida. And a lot of you guys remember listening to Liz down through the years.
Now, this Liz Wild was the cute little blonde. Well, she was a brunette, then a blonde.
Oh, see, Liz has a very gorgeous voice. Interviews a lot of artists, a lot of the great stars, musicians, and she's now down in Florida. Now, I know that she traveled some of the same roads you did, right?
Jesus, what a vulgar thing to say.
A vulgar thing to say?
Hey, come on.
Let's talk about anal sex.
Hey,
say anything of the sort. Some of the same roads, bud, meaning some of the same broadcast roads in Florida.
All right. We're going to talk about anything.
You really, bud, you owe Phil an apology.
You owe me an apology because you're the one that used the...
The what?
The filthy term.
Yes, that's exactly right. The filthy term.
So you're saying I introduced the topic of the old dirt road. You are some...
Wait a minute.
Come on now, Margaret. The old dirt road.
Well, let's, if the shoe fits...
No, I didn't. You know something? I'm a clean...
Probably getting stuck.
Hold on. It was some gum I was chewing. I'm a clean-thinking, cleanly woman. Okay? And I am the last person you will ever hear discuss things like the old dirt road or the... What are you looking at?
What are you talking about, Margaret?
Never mind.
Oh, look at the vulgarity.
My God, Miss Gray, you're the one bringing up the dirt road.
I didn't. Did I say Dirty Pete's Lake? I did not.
Hey, Margaret, where are you getting these terms?
From you.
Yeah, that's true, man.
She's got you there, Phil.
Let's drop the topic. Quit fooling around with the copy, bud.
Gotta get things in order. You're always messing them up.
Because you're getting strangled and always trying to defend yourself. Folks, welcome to our program.
I'm sorry, Phil. I owe you an apology, but I thought you were talking about Dirty Pete's Lake.
Forget about Dirty Pete's Lake, will you?
God, was anyone... I don't know.
You did, Phil. You sounded decidedly feminine.
So, I was talking to my friend Liz Wild, who is a great broadcaster, a great veteran of a great many years. Yes, we and she and I and all of us, all of us worked... It seems like everybody in radio worked at WSHE in Miami at one time. Am I right? Is there anybody out there that I'm telling... Anybody that I'm missing?
Now, WSHE Miami, that was actually Fort Lauderdale, wasn't it? I'm not trying to be a smartass.
Yeah. Technically, it was, yeah, it was in Fort Lauderdale. It was licensed to Fort Lauderdale, Miami. And WSHE was the first FM rock station in Miami. And like I say, just about everybody that I ever worked with at one time or another passed through there. A lot of people did. There's a few stations.
What are the stations you would call, what do you say, that the Evergreen or something like that?
Yeah, it's that song. Go, ah, ha, ha, ha. Got one, Margaret?
Oh, my God, you carved one of my favorite songs, A New Ass. You...
Hey, come on, wait a minute. I didn't do anything.
Come on, Margaret. Is everything a... Everything is a fist fight with you, huh?
When you take a beautiful song like Evergreen by Barbara Streisand... Oh,
oh shit.
Sorry.
It was a song by Barbara Streisand, and wasn't Neil Diamond in that?
Who?
You've never heard of Neil Diamond.
I've heard of Neil... I've heard of Neil Diamond...
Phil, the song is from A Star Is Born, right?
Yeah, that was Kris Kristofferson. Barbara Streisand, Kris Kristofferson, A Star Is Born. That was a remake of the original.
Oh, yes, the original with James Mason and some, I forget who.
I think it was Judy Garland, right?
Who?
What is it with you guys? You never heard of Judy Garland?
Oh, Judy Garland, I'm sorry. Yes, it was a remake. And the song, oh, love, soft as an easy thing. I don't know how it went. Love, warmer than your thing. Do-do-do-do. One love that is shared by two. I have found in you. I just need to warm up a little bit, but you know.
You know, Margaret, Frank is going to have you booked at the Lobster, at the Lobster Closet, right?
And what about it?
Yeah, I'd better tighten it up a little bit.
You know, we will be having Frank on.
Now you're laughing at yourself.
I am.
Frank is going to be on. My husband, Frank, who is booking me into some of the top clam... You know something, Phil? You would take something that a blind man had worked on his entire life and lift your leg to it, urine and gas.
Hey.
I'm Margaret Gray.
Well, I'll tell you this much, Margaret. This much, Margaret. I am very happy to promote your appearances forthcoming in San Pedro at the Clam Bucket, the Muscle Patio, is it?
No. The Clam Bucket, the Muscle Porch, and the Lobster Patio. I think it's the Lobster Patio. Am I right about that, General?
What are you looking at me for?
I thought Frank sent you the schedule.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you can have Mr. Gray on in a moment.
We'll have Frank Gray on in a moment to talk about that. And as I mentioned, we also have Vernon Dozier, who will be with us to talk about his memories of Hurricane Katrina. I guess he was down there in 2005, but got out of town. And he has his very, very interesting story of hitting the city limits of New Orleans, looking back and spitting, as he said, into the face of Katrina, because he didn't want to think he was running away from it.
And this is, who's this?
It's Vernon Dozier.
Oh, it's Coach Dozier. You know, I admire that man immensely. I really do. But there's something that's going to snap with him. And they'll have him in a white jacket with a soft room just as much as anybody else. You know, nothing saves him. He's not all that special.
From what?
From a soft room.
You think he's nuts?
Well, what do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, talking about spinning the eye of a hurricane.
I think he means it in a figurative sense, but we'll talk about it. Larry Grover. We'll talk to him.
Phil, I'm just saying you need to be a little bit more expressive.
And then we also have Larry Grover. And Larry will be on with his mother, and Larry's going to talk about President Trump's, canceling the Dreamer thing. And Larry will also be discussing, I think, elements of the weather that we have, that we're looking ahead to. This Irma, and hot on the heels of this Harvey, and...
You talk about a hurricane.
Who did you think I was talking about, Bud?
What do you think he's talking about, Bud?
Just Irma and Harvey. It could be people. God, man.
Yeah, man, right, people. Well, Harvey Weinman?
Harvey Weinman and Irma
LaDouche.
God damn, you said douche.
Well, you little... Come on, back it off,
will you? We'll be right back in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have all of that marvelous stuff coming up. But first, let's take a look at the traffic here with Bob Bacon and the guys.
Hey, Phil, right now, behind the trailer, we've got a signal that Adam's going to be down there for about 3 hours. 3,000 ounces. Ounces of a truck. Stick that right there. And we got the I'm swinging on down now to the Harbor Freeway and onto the Foothill Freeway. Look, Foothill Nice Mountain Swim. Take a look at that Latuna Canyon, and I'll take a little bit of extra mayo on my Latuna, huh? A lot of people got to get out of there, and 15,000 homes are going to burn to the ground. They have to grab chat. Let's go to the Skyway.
Hey, Don, I'm just waiting a little time. I'm saying, do you like the Jedi? I like to have celery sticks. I'm going to grab celery sticks with you, too. gonna, huh? Ha, 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 ha. Well, then we'll do it again. You'll get just silly. And we'll get smaller, but don't be silly. And we'll have this silly hall. It's going to be a boy. It's going to be this weekend.
Man, it's stuffy in here. Boy, Sky Baby, sweet man. Hey, all right. How you doing, Boyd?
My name is Boyd Sky Baby Sweet Tan. I will teach you how to fly a helicopter if you'd like to teach, you know, if you'd like to go up with me in one. If you'll bring some candy and maybe some popcorn with you. I promise I won't go doo-doo inside the helicopter. The Boyd Sky Baby Sweet Tan Helicopter Lessons every Friday at Boyd Sweet Tan's Helicopter Lesson Pad, 6143 South Melange in the city of Glut. We'll see you then if I don't make a boo-boo.
Funniest fucking thing.
Hi, Walt Palducky for the Palducky Tie. You know, a lot of you are sick to death of tying your own ties. You're sick and tired of the tie. You're sick and tired of the bow tie, of the string tie. You just want to slap it on and be done with it, right? Well, the Palducky Tie does it for you. It's already tied. See it right there? Then you take the rope that's attached to either side and tie it right there around your neck. Now, you've got to get a collared shirt that's big enough to cover up the rope because it's a little unsightly, and the tie can come untied because you have to tie it yourself first. But the Palducky Tie, I think, is revolutionary for those of you who are sick and tired of tying your tie, and you don't mind putting on a tie that looks crappy because at least you didn't have to tie it, see? Walt Palducky's Ties. The Walt Palducky Tie. Get it at Boswell's and your local Kramerly's.
Well, famous Phil Henry Show, the El Pacifico here in Southern California. Always great to have on Frank Gray, who's one of our good dear friends, Frank, the husband of Margaret Gray. And we're bringing on Frank to talk about the kickoff to Margaret's fall singing tour. Frank, how are you?
I'm better than Custer. How are you doing, General?
I'm doing great, and here's your wife, Margaret.
Frank, we want to tell everyone about what we are going to be doing this fall with the Margaret Gray singing tour.
Well, I have him booked into a number of great clubs. As you know, Margaret likes to sing down there at the Clam Joints. And we're happy to book him in there.
Well, let's be clear on something, Frank. I don't love it, but I did it as a favor to you because...
Let's not bring up this boy, old boy.
No, all right. No arguments, okay?
Let me say something. Do you book her into those joints, Frank, because you owe those people a favor?
Let's see. Can we talk about something else? I book him into the... These are places that I know that I got a piece of.
All right, so in other words, you're part owner in these clubs.
I got a piece of some of the action, right, okay? You know Bert Bedevil. Bert Bedevil is a big fan of his. And she said to me, can I book your wife, Margaret? And I said, sure. And so she said, how about Saturday night? Is he free? And I said, let me ask my wife. So I asked him, and he said, yes, he was. And she was ecstatic because she's going to have her wife in, and she's also going to have her son, and she's excited, too. Did you know that, Margaret, that her son...
Yes, I knew that the family liked my singing.
All right, so he'll be there singing for her and for her. And, by the way, the L.A. Kings hockey team, I didn't tell you about this.
Oh, my God.
Yep, every last one of them. I was talking to the head coach, and she said all of the players... All of the big names will be there, and they're excited about it. So the L.A. Kings hockey team, her, all of them out there.
All right, Frank, thank you very much for that. Now, the question that we have here is the question that's on the uppermost in people's minds.
Frank, where are you, by the way?
I'm at Studebaker's. I'm getting some fish and chips.
All right, I didn't know. It's very, very loud there.
Well, they've got some of the college kids are here. I don't know. But I'm on my way home. I thought I'd stop up and get fish and chips, and I love the fish and the chips.
All right, the question, should I ask the question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Why am I constantly being booked into these joints? Now, I know you have a piece of them. You have an ownership in them. I didn't know that you owned a piece of the clam bucket.
I've had a piece of the clam bucket. Hey, what is this anyway? I don't have to explain. I'm going to book my wife into the clam bucket, the lobster patio, and the mussel pit, and he'll love it. Okay, Margaret?
I don't like being pushed around like that.
But, Frank, why don't you give the lady a chance? You know, she's every year.
Yeah, I mean, every year, Mr. Gray, you got her singing in these places.
I'm singing in these joints, these dumps. And, by the way, I'm not sure that we get the full door.
Oh, wow. Thanks a lot for that. Now I'm going to have to explain myself to Sneaky Pete Jackson. You know that she is one of the toughest dudes on the docks? She's going to be down there, and she'll say to me, hey, Gray, I heard about your wife bellyaching. What does he think? He's getting shortchanged? And I'll have to tell her, no, it's all a big joke. Do you understand how tough Sneaky Pete, whatever I called her, what's her name?
Sneaky Pete Babcock.
Yeah, Sneaky Pete Babcock. Do you know how tough she is? She's one of the toughest guys I've ever met. Man, she'll kick my ass.
Well, Frank, if I don't do it first.
Yeah, the day he kicks my ass. But her, forget it.
Okay, Frank, let's not have a family argument about this thing. I think the originally was interesting to us because... What, bud?
That was originally interesting because of she was at the lobster patio.
I already told you, Dickman, the lobster patio I have a piece of.
So you got a piece of all these places?
Yes, I've got a piece of all these places, and that's why I booked my wife. And yes, okay, so I owe my partner some of the money. And we tell you what, we call him Broomhilda. He's a beautiful woman, but Broomhilda Wilson, who's my part, who's my partner in the lobster patio. God damn, does he ever bust your balls? And for a beautiful chick to do that.
You know, I think that's a very insulting nickname for a woman, Broomhilda.
Well, we don't mean it. He's gorgeous. He's one of the best-looking women I've ever seen, other than you, Margaret. So we kid around with him, and we say, boy, you got the best ass and the biggest breasts, Broomhilda. And he likes that.
All right, but Frank, let's get off that. We're talking to Frank Gray.
Yes, let's get off it before you have to talk about it with me at home, and it'll be a decidedly very unpleasant conversation.
All I said about him was that...
All right, Frank, get off that for a second. What we want to talk about...
By the way, fella, it just sounded like you went... like that. Did he dirty himself?
No, he did not.
No, I didn't. We're talking to Frank Gray.
All right. God damn. Get a load of her. I'm talking to this guy right now. And
hey, Frank, talk to me, will you?
Sorry.
We're talking to Frank Gray, who is, right now he's down at some fish and chips joint. Where are you at?
I forget. I thought I was at Applebee's or something.
He's down getting some fish and chips. We're talking to him about Margaret and her forthcoming tour, her fall tour of the seafood bars and joints and dives in San Pedro.
Why do you call them? These are class joints.
Frank, I'm wading through all the clam juice and the beer and the blood in half of these places.
Oh, bull. Man, that's dirty pool.
And so, anyway, we're trying to get the lowdown on what is the situation. Frank, you own a lot of these clubs and you're just basically having Margaret sing at these joints.
Hey, Margaret gets part of the door, don't you, honey?
Yes, when you show up with the door, I do. But sometimes I get this whole story about how somebody got mugged, someone got rolled.
You know, these are tough joints. I know there was the one place they got the guy that had the door. She got rolled. But I think they made it up to it, didn't they?
Eventually, yes.
Well, what are you bellyaching about?
Frank, I don't want to sing in these toilets anymore if I'm not getting paid enough. Do you understand?
Oh, my God.
Do you understand?
So you're going out on strike.
No, I'm saying I don't want to sing in these toilets, especially places like the lobster patio and the clam bucket, unless I'm getting a fair share of the door and I am actually getting the money and you're not giving me some story about someone getting rolled.
Right now, he gets 5% of the door.
5%?
Get a load of it. 5%? That's right.
That's cheap, man. El cheapo.
What she, what do you think she ought to get?
I should be getting 50%.
Oh, my God.
Oh, look at this. Frank's pretending like he's panicking.
Like I'm not panicking? My voice. Oh, my God.
What are we doing? Hey, Mr. Henry, hi. It's Bosco Townsend.
Hey, Bosco, how you doing?
Good. Frank wanted me to say that he's sorry that he got... he's hyperventilating.
Bosco, it's Margaret. Tell him to get back on the phone and quit the act.
No, it's not an act. He's really hyper... You all right, Frank?
Oh, my God.
He's hyperventilating. Did somebody say that he had to give you more money?
Yes, I did.
Well, that was the reason. So your wife did it, huh?
Oh, my God.
So if you could drop your price...
I'm not dropping my price. I'll talk to that slob tonight when I see him.
She said she'll talk to you tonight when she sees you.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
They went down on our end. They hung up.
Bud, you got to lock them in.
Got to lock those guests in. Otherwise, they hang up on you like that.
As if there was anything more to be said in that particular little jam session.
Well, I mean, so you think you get more money?
Oh, yes. We're getting... First of all, I've got him on the record on the air as being a cheap creep. And so right now what we have is a Frank Gray that can't say no.
All right, so at least when we hear about you singing this fall, Margaret. By the way, are we going to be hearing any of these live tapes?
Yes, we're going to do an EP live at the Clam Bucket. You got a problem with that?
Yeah.
Shut your mouth.
Hey, I'm excited to hear it.
Seriously, Ms. Ray?
Yes, Margaret Ray, live at the Clam Bucket. We'll have some of the songs.
Looking forward to that. All right, Larry Grover coming up. We also have Coach Vernon Dozier, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
And now it's time for news with a baby's touch. Here, then, is Walter Filligan.
There's going to be a hurricane, and it's going to be the rain. It's going to fall and everything. And then the Mexicans, they're not going to get to be here because President Trump doesn't want to have the Mexicans to be here. And then another thing is that the climate is changing. And then they burned the stuff in the desert. They had a desert man, Burning Man, in the desert.
Walter Filligan and news with a baby's touch.
Yes, it's Sweet Farm, the best place we could possibly think of for you to drop off a loved one and have them sit and luxuriate in our mental ward. There they can converse with people like themselves. Yes, people just like them, filled with all kinds of weird ideas about things. I don't want to get into it, but some of the stuff that I hear. At Sweet Farm, your loved one can sit and yammer on about anything they want, and it ain't nobody's business but their own.
Come to Sweet Farm and imagine yourself living in the lap of luxury. If luxury and its lap was actually a 130-year-old crone with a venereal disease.
Holy Christ!
Sweet Farm.
At Sweet Farm, 121 Toga Road in Wolvingham.
Well, famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, man. Let me get my brother on here. Let's talk a little bit about, just get off the weather for a second, although, have we talked about the weather at all?
I don't remember one show to the next around here.
We talked about Hurricane Harvey. That sucked. But what we do want to talk about is the onslaught of Irma. Now, I mentioned to you that I have my friend Liz Wild down there. In fact, I know a lot of people that live in Florida, and a lot of people live there in the central part of the state around the Tampa Bay area, because that's what we're talking about, Bradenton.
All right, now, the thing of it is, when I looked at these hurricane models...
Yeah, the hurricane models, Phil, show that the storm is either going up the west coast of Florida or the east coast.
Right down the middle.
Yes, it could go down right down the middle. But it's... What are you laughing at?
Well, you said go down.
Excuse me.
Serves you right, bud.
Smartass. It's going down the middle. That's right. Or it will go up the...
It'll go up one side or down the neck. The point being that you can't really predict where it's going to be, right?
Well, that's it. And I think a lot of people are worried that maybe it's going to be going up the East Coast. Some people are worried. A lot of people are worried it's going to go smack dab right through the middle of the state. And that spares no one. And then there are some who are living on the West Coast that are afraid it's going to have more of a Gulf direction to it. But we want to get Vernon Dozier on the phone right now. It's a guy who... Well, we talked to Vernon originally back in 2005 about Hurricane Katrina, and he was leaving New Orleans. It was a coaching job that he had at the time, and said he kind of turned around and spit in its face, and we thought we'd get Vernon back on to tell us a little bit more about that experience. Vernon, how are you?
Hey, great, Phil. It's not often I get like two in a row on the show.
Yeah, we did. We had him on Monday.
Yeah, did kind of overkill.
Well, thanks a lot, but...
No, it's not overkill. We're talking to Vernon about a completely different topic right now.
What did we talk to you about on Monday, Vernon?
I was talking on Monday about the butting heads.
Oh, that's right. With Mavis,
my aunt.
Yes, with Mavis.
Right. You guys are a little slow here tonight.
All right, well, let's talk tonight about something completely different. Let's go back and talk about your experience with Katrina.
Well, that wouldn't be something completely different because I already talk to you about that.
I know, but it's been a few years.
All right, Phil, yeah. I know.
Gosh, damn, Mr. Henry's under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, so I gathered. Jesus.
All right, well, I'm not under that much pressure that we can't discuss this as reasonable adults. In any event, what I'm trying to find out from you, Coach, since you originally told us when you left New Orleans back in 2005, just ahead of Katrina, you were headed to L.A., what were you doing down in New Orleans?
Well, I was down in New Orleans in 2005 because I'd taken a temporary assistant coaching job at Tulane. Didn't work out, and so I left on very good terms. They're great people, but I decided to return to Southern California and do the high school job that I had.
You're talking about going to a high school job from college? It's kind of weird, isn't it?
No, it's not, Dickman. It's not weird at all.
Hey, Bud, have a little respect.
Bud, this is a man that made a career choice that I'm sure that he's not regretting, even though I'm sure he went to less money.
No, I didn't go to less money. But you people don't understand. Some high school jobs are worth a lot of money. They pay you a lot of money to coach high school.
Well, did you take a pay cut?
None of your business. Oh, my God.
Hey, you know what? I want to apologize, Coach, for the rest of these clowns. Don't ask him those questions.
He's absolutely right. I'm sorry, Coach.
You better believe it.
All right, let's move on. So you're leaving New Orleans just ahead of Katrina.
I'm leaving New Orleans just ahead of Katrina. I got my wife, Mandy, in the car. We got Pepper, our dog. We got Boss Ox, who's the cat. We got the...
Is that the name of your cat?
What is?
Boss Sox?
Yeah, named a cat after the Boston Red Sox, and plus Clinton had a cat named Sock Puppeter. I forget.
No, it was Sox.
It was Sox.
I believe that was the name of the Clinton cat, yes.
I don't think it was Sox. I think it was...
I think it was Socket.
Socket?
What do you mean Socket?
It wasn't Socket. It was Mr. Sox or some jazz like that. Socket. What's that supposed to mean?
So he named it after a light, like a socket.
Yeah, like a light socket.
Oh, okay, sure. That makes a lot. Name a cat after a light socket? Oh, baby.
So, Coach, as you were leaving New Orleans, you had a feeling that you were running out, didn't you?
I had a very distinct feeling that I was chickening out and running out on a good city with good people. And I also had a worse feeling, though, and it was the feeling that this hurricane was chasing me out and was back there as it was approaching New Orleans, knowing it had just, basically, it had just backed Vernon Dozier down. I can't describe it. I know that a hurricane, what you're going to say, Phil, a hurricane is not a living thing. It doesn't have thoughts.
No, it doesn't, but and you treat it.
Just call it an anthropomorphic way.
Yes, exactly. Bud's right. In the anthropomorphic manner.
Well, isn't that great? Anthropomorphic. So you're saying that I
anthropomorphize.
Yeah, you anthropomorphize. You turn it...
I know what it means. You guys are saying that I
promorphize a hurricane.
Yeah, is that what you're saying?
That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying. I'm saying that the hurricane came into New Orleans and knew what it was going to do to New Orleans, but it was also looking just past New Orleans to the city line where my car was, and was looking and had a smile on its face. I can't explain it.
Well, this is why people think that you had a little bit of a mental breakdown, because you're imagining this hurricane.
I'm not imagining anything. I know that the hurricane, first of all, is not an intelligent being. It doesn't have thoughts of its own. So don't worry about it, okay? I'm not thinking that way, but I feel as if there was something about that hurricane that was feeling all cocky and like it was just so hot and just such hot stuff, if you'll pardon me using the word, Phil.
No, that's fine.
All right, so it felt it was hot shit. And
you didn't use that word, you used stuff.
Oh, sorry, I had a lapse of memory. So it felt it was hot stuff that it had run Vernon Dozier out of town on a rail. And so that's when I pulled my car over and I said to Mandy, look, I got some business to take care of. You sit tight, keep the dogs quiet, and I'll be back. I got out of the car and I walked to the back of the car, and there's Mandy looking through the rear. I can see her looking at me. And I looked out at this hurricane as it was coming down on New Orleans. And I looked at it and I went, you know something? If you don't mind me saying, Phil, I got to use the word. You ain't shit. And I went, I spit. I said, you know what? You don't scare me at all. You don't scare me at all. And I spit at it. And I turned and I remember thinking, did it even hear me? All it is wind and some rain. I don't even know if it has a soul or a... But I felt so... Like, I just had this sense that it was...
Like it was mocking you.
It was not so much mocking me, but it knew or it felt like it had run me off. So when I got in the car, and then I said, hold on for a minute, I got one more thing. And I got back out of the car, and I walked to the back of the car, and I said, and you didn't run me off either. I'm going to a better job in Southern California.
All right, now let me just stop you here, Coach. We're talking to Coach Vernon Dozier. And this is something he had talked to us about on the show in earlier days, where he essentially spit into the face or into the eye of Hurricane Katrina, although the eye was well off at that point, right?
Yeah, well, it was, what do you mean well off? Like it didn't have to work or...
No, I mean it was far away from the coast.
Oh yeah, it was far enough away from land. But still, you could feel the wind picking up, you could feel the rain. And I needed this.
And you stopped and got out, and...
Yeah, I said to my wife, hold on. She had the dogs in her lap, and I walked to the car, and I said, you know what? You ain't Jack. You don't scare me at all. You suck. I was angry, and I wanted to make sure that it knew that I was angry, and I wanted to make sure that it knew that I despised it. And I felt good, and I started walking back to the car. I got into the car, and I said, hold on. I told my wife, wait a minute. I got one more thing. And I got out, and I walked back. And I said, and guess what? You're not running me off. I'm taking a better job. Okay? And I spit again. And I felt good. And I got back in the car, and I said, okay.
Well, let me guess. You said, hold on.
You...
Well, you know, it's getting ridiculous.
No, it's not getting ridiculous. Do you guys want to hear the story, or don't you?
Yes, we do.
All right. I got in the car one more time, and I looked at my wife, and I said, hold on. And I got out again. And I walked back behind the car, and I said to it, I hate you, and I'm not leaving because of anything other than the fact I've got a better-paying job in California. And, oh, yeah, one more thing. I'm going to move back here someday. I'm coming back to New Orleans, so if you want to, come back as a hurricane, I don't know how these things work.
Now, you're talking to this hurricane.
I'm imagining the hurricane to be a person, and it made me feel better.
All right, so then you walked back toward the car.
I walked back to the car. I got in.
Then you remembered something and got out again.
General, well, God almighty.
Yeah, am I going to get to say what I want to say, Phil?
Yes, you may. Hold on, will you, General?
Yes, I got into the car. I looked at my wife. I'm done. I'm fine. I kissed her. I kissed the dogs. I turned the radio on, and I said, hold on, one more thing.
God damn.
That's right, one more. I got out, and I walked to the back end of the car, and I said, you know what? Fuck you. Excuse me for saying this, but I had never said that. I said, I forgot to tell you, fuck you. Then I turned around, and I got back in the car.
And then you got out again.
What an asshole.
Well, did you?
Yes, I did. But I'm not asking this guy to comment on everything.
Do you mind, General?
General, let the man tell the story. He's getting in his car. He's getting out.
Let the man tell the story.
Thank you, Phil. So I got back in my car. I looked at my wife. I said, it's okay now, honey. We're on our way. I turned the car on. I turned the windshield wipers on. I looked to my left to make sure there wasn't any traffic I'd be merging into. And I said, wait a minute. I turned the engine off. I looked at my wife. I said, hold on. Now she's having a cow. She's, you know, what are you doing? I said, just take it easy. I got out of the car. I walked back toward the hurricane. And I walked a couple of feet past the rear bumper of my car. And I...
Okay, now I understand.
Did you expose yourself?
Yes, I did. I pulled my zipper down and I showed it. I said, take a look at this. I said, you got something to beat it?
Well, that's a crude thing to say.
No, I didn't mean beat.
You're talking about beating it.
I didn't mean beat it in that sense. I said, do you got something that's better, that bigger? I don't know what.
Well,
You're axing?
Hey, you were in Louisiana, weren't you?
Well, it's true.
You're asking this hurricane if it has a penis that's bigger than yours.
You know what? Now I think you were losing it. Now, before I thought it was...
Oh, here we go.
No, now I... Are you kidding me or something, Coach?
I got back in the car. Look, at it. I pulled it out. I looked at it. I said, here, you got something that's bigger than this? No, you don't. I didn't think you did. Goodbye. I got back in my car.
Then you rolled up the window, and then you rolled it back down again and said...
I hate you so much.
You know what? We're going to let you go, Coach.
Thank you very much.
Wait a minute.
Thank you.
No, we're going to let him go. Thank you, Coach. Coach Vernon Dozier.
Thank you. And by the way, I...
Coach Vernon Dozier, I don't think he was treated very well by any of you. And I'm looking at you, Bud. You didn't say much, but you were going, I'm very ashamed of all of you.
Margaret.
No, I am. I'm very ashamed. The man obviously is not well. The man obviously sees and hears things that aren't there. He obviously has all kinds of problems. The least you could have done was humored him. But there you are, General, mocking him, and you, Phil, laughing like a chimpanzee. Not a chimpanzee, but the chimpanzee. And you know how I feel about those.
How do you feel about those?
Yeah.
What a filthy thing to ask.
Wait a minute. Wait, Margaret. Wait, what do you mean by that?
Goodbye.
That's great.
Goodbye.
Are you leaving?
Yes. Well, what happened?
I don't know what happened. What are you asking me what happened?
Next time you want to ask a woman why she pronounces something chimpanzee and why she has sympathy for a man who pulled his... who pulled his dick out in front of a hurricane. Never mind.
Is Frank picking you up?
What do you mean by picking me up?
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
Hold on. Is he just...
Yes, he's... dirty.
All right, so a little slow getting back into the program here, folks. That's the only thing I can tell you.
Yeah, I'll say a little slow.
What about Larry Grover?
Yeah, Larry, he can't come on now. Barker's going to interview him.
All right, so Larry's going to be back tomorrow. Is that it?
What?
Is Larry going to be back on tomorrow?
Yeah.
So Larry Grover's going to be joining us tomorrow on the Phil Henry Show. And that, let me see, what is he going to be talking about, man? Where are our notes for that show? Oh.
Yeah, Larry Grover's going to be talking about the climate change and the dreamers and all that bullshit. He's essentially going to be defending your good friend there, Mr. Trump, and all of the jazz that he says.
My good friend. All right, folks, that is it. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. It's been our pleasure to be hosting this. Hope you'll be with us again tomorrow.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, the El Pacifico in Southern California. Executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
You'll be hearing from my attorney.